This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll.
Kat, I am so excited that you are on the Build and Bloom Photography podcast. Again, you are going to be a recurring guest for 2024. And if you guys haven't listened to the previous episode with Kat, it was all about SEO basics, which sounds like a boring topic, but Kat teaches it in a very uncomplicated way. And I'll have that linked down below. But Kat, will you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi, guys. I am Kat DeLine. I am an East Coast wedding photographer who also dabbles in SEO. And I have a team of lead photographers that are also in my business.
And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, growing your business with lead photographers. So we're going to start from zero. So if you don't even know what does a lead photographer mean, what's an associate, we're going to go into all of that today. And Kat's information will be linked down in the show notes, the description of this episode, as well as information if you're interested in mentoring with Kat, more in depth on this for your business. So Kat, let's just start from the very beginning. What is an associate and also what is a lead and how would somebody use this in their business?
Okay, so for me, there's a difference between what's an associate photographer and a lead photographer. In my eyes, you can probably start with the associate. I end up calling my lead photographers because they're really a part of my business. In my eyes, and just my opinion, is an associate can be anything from someone you have a wedding that you can't cover and or a shoot that you can't cover and you want someone to come in and just cover it for you. And that's someone that may just step into your business for that one session, one elopement, one wedding, whatever it is that you do. And they might just step in for that one time, like a one-off thing. In my opinion, I've kind of moved into the area of, I call them lead photographers. Lead photographers for me in my business is they are a part of it. They are doing several weddings a year. That's what I specialize in is weddings and couples and elopements. So they're stepping in and they're in my business more than just once or maybe twice. They're in it from, you know, our whole season. We're together. We offer everything as like a team. So that's to me the difference between an associate photographer and a lead photographer. I think if you're going to be bringing people into your business and you want to grow with a team, you might want to look into calling them lead photographers. And that way also for your clientele, it lets them know that, oh, they're people that lead, you know, whatever photography type of photography that you do.
So do you think that some people who do have associates in their business, they almost could reword it to saying lead? Is this a term that you've kind of recently discovered or even have coined? Because I've never heard it before, but it makes so much sense.
Maybe I should coin it. I'm not really sure. I think I finally got to being like, okay, what are they doing in my business? And lead photographer really just came out because they really are leading. I specialize in weddings. So they're leading the photography, you know, throughout the day. And because you have a lead photographer, you have a second photographer who really is just kind of like assisting with the day, helping capture it. And the lead photographer, I feel like it is beneficial to change that terminology because this is something I tell everybody. We already know that I love websites and how you're communicating with your ideal clients or who you want to book. And if they don't know what associate means, you might want to rephrase it. So definitely think about if you were to go down the road and say to someone, hey, I have an associate photographer. They're going to be like, what does that mean? But if you say I have a lead photographer, they're going to say, oh, it's a photographer that leads the day. Very just easy terminology, very simple, but allows someone who isn't educated in our industry terms and standards to know what you're offering them. Because in all honesty, the people that come to your website and that book you really don't have a lot of industry knowledge and don't always know the terms that we use. So for me, lead photographer is a simplification of that term associate. It just gives people an idea of what they're booking or they're looking at without having to do an in-depth research.
Why did you, Kat, add lead photographers to your business?
So I moved to my current market on the East Coast in 2020. Really bad timing, but it worked out nicely in the end. I ended up growing my business pretty quickly during that downtime. And my business started growing quicker than I could offer. I I was booking up pretty quickly and even raising my prices. I still have a lot of availability, like a lot of clients coming to me needing availability for certain days. And I just couldn't offer it. And I had to, you know, I do like referring out. I love my community, but it got to the point where I realized that the amount of inquiries I had coming in that were qualifying, that were really good, and I really wanted to serve, I couldn't serve them as a person, because you really want the balance between, I don't want every weekend of my, you know, every year to be occupied with a wedding. And I don't want to do double weddings a weekend. I want to have that work-life balance. But if I wanted to grow my business, it was an option that was brought to me and that I really was like, this could be good. At first, I really didn't think I was going to be a good leader. I was like, I don't know if I want a team. I just want myself. And then, you know, it just kept coming back around. And it seemed that it was the perfect fit for my business based upon this, the stats that were coming in, the inflow that I was dealing with and where I could see my business growing. I mean, there are things you really need to look at when it comes to deciding whether or not you want to have a team on your, for your photography business or not, because you can be very successful just as an individual and limit, and there's that, that's an avenue. But then there's also the avenue of growing a team. And I think for longevity and the integrity of your brand, you really need to be strategic about how you do it.
That's so, so smart. And then everybody is within your brand, your branding, and you have a lot more control and probably how the wedding day goes, the booking process. You're not having to just hand your client off to somebody else based on a referral, and then they are now kind of locked into that other photographer's business. I think that's so strategic. What signs should you look for to know your business is ready to add additional photographers?
So there's a couple different signs, and it really is just about what path you want to take with your photography and your business. So what I like to tell everybody, it's your business. You get to make these decisions and you get to direct that sail whatever way you want to and make that boat go where you want it to. So one of the main ones that I tell people to look for, it's really simple. And if you are into growing a team, if your inquiries are increased and you're really turning away quite a few people that you think are qualifying to be within your business, like, you know, you have clients coming in, and I speak from a wedding perspective because that's what I'm in. But if we have couples coming to us and they're really like, they're hitting all the marks to say, you know, this is a couple that, you know, aligns with our brand. We think we would serve them well and it'd be really great. Can, you know, we'd fit together really well. And you just are having too much of an increase in that and you can't fulfill it because you're one person. That's an easy one to spot. And if you just see that increase in inquiries and you are turning a lot of people away, it might be something that you want to look into growing a team. Another one is if you just get to the point in your life where maybe you don't want to do 20 weddings a year yourself and you realize, oh, I can probably still book, whether maybe it's 10 weddings and you only want to do 5 of them and you want to bring in one other person to help you with that. It's also maybe about your quality of life. It depends on how much you want to do. If you maybe are in a phase of your life where you don't want to do as many weddings on the weekends, maybe you bring someone in. It doesn't mean you have to do more weddings. It could just be you want to just divvy them up and have someone along for the ride with you, so you're not doing all of it. And then the third kind of way that you can tell if you're ready for a photography team is if you have a calling to feel like you want to lead a team. And I think this is also something that's very important, because a lot of times people are like, oh, this is the natural path, I add photographers. But you really have to have that desire to want to lead a team. And sometimes it can be you can bring someone on and then increase your inquiries by saying, hey guys, we have someone else on our team, we have more availability, and just up your marketing a little bit and bring in those inquiries. But maybe you feel like, I really want this to be a team effort, because there is a difference, something to be said about the fact, if you really like working solo and it's just you, you might not be ready for a lead photographer team. And maybe a team's not a thing for you. But if you've realized you really have leadership skills and a desire to lead and you're really excited about it and it gives you some passion, then maybe looking into having a team might be something that's really good for your business and might be a really good point of growth for you too. So I think those are three things that you can kind of look for within your business to say, am I ready for it? And I think any of those steps, you really do also have to have that leadership component and understand, like, if you are just someone that works really good on an individual basis, lead photographers might not be the thing for you. But if you really like that team aspect, you do have to have that, you know, because you are the person that's directing that team and growing that team and making sure that your brand stays consistent, even though you're bringing people in.
What would you say has been the biggest obstacle in adding lead photographers to your photography business?
I think the biggest obstacle, and maybe the biggest thing that kind of gives me some nerves, is making sure I have the right people, because I can teach you technical skills. I can teach you how to run your camera. I can teach you all those things. But personally, within my brand, because I look at like my brand foundation is really based upon the experience that, you know, Deline Photography, my business, is bringing to these couples. It's an experience. So finding the right people that fit with your brand mission, your core values, and where you want your business to go can be a big obstacle, because you have to make sure whoever you're interviewing, whoever you're looking at, and whoever you bring in fits with them. They're not you. They shouldn't be a mold of you. No one should be you. You're individuals. But you need to have someone that complements that and comes into your business and really wants to grow with it, really wants to have that good experience. And, you know, I always kind of equate like my business is like I'm handing, you know, my dreams to someone else and saying, you know, here they are. Can you help me with them? But you have to make sure that you trust whoever you're handing that dream to, that take care of it while they're, you know, representing your company during, whether it's just a session or if it's a full wedding day. You know, there's a lot that happens on a wedding day, and you got to make sure that person that you're adding into that business is the right one and represents you in the right way. And I think to kind of like caveat off of that, the obstacle of also stepping into that leadership role and taking in like the actual like growth moment to say, this is someone, I'm bringing someone in, and to have the confidence to say, I know how to pick this person. And once you find that person, being able to have, you know, the strength to say, this is the person I want to go move forward with them and bring them into my business. So it's kind of like a twofold obstacle that I found is finding the right people, but also stepping into that leadership role to say, I own this, and I being okay with saying that's not the right person, this is the right person, and following your gut sometimes in those big questions that you have to ask yourself when you're adding someone to your business.
If somebody is looking to do this, what are some red flags that photographers should look out for when interviewing to join their team?
That's a great question, because there's going to be red flags, like, and that you shouldn't love everybody that applies and comes into your business to interview, because you should be able to weed some people out. The first round, when I first started years ago, I had, I think it was 8 applicants altogether, and I only wanted to hire one, but I hired 2. And then I'm actually in the middle of hiring our 3rd lead photographer. And right now we have about 20 applicants, and I'm right in the middle of interviewing them as well. So this is a good question that I'm really fresh on right now, because I'm going through interviews as we speak. So the first time around, I had great guidance. I had a great mentor who really helped me through how to interview everybody to make this growth in my business. And she's been amazing. She's been with me the whole time. And the first time around, something that I noticed is like when people are talking about, you're asking them about different questions and they start talking about, they shouldn't always be focused just on them. They should also be focused on how they're going to contribute to your business. So definitely having the aspect of like, you want them to talk about themselves because you want to get to know them, especially in that first initial interview. You're just getting to know them, because there should be people hopefully in that applicant pool that you don't know. And that sometimes honestly is the best people you can hire. Both of the girls that I brought on for my first round of hiring, I didn't know them, and it has turned out amazing. So the first one is really just getting to know them, but you should be also asking questions, you know, like what do you want to get out of this position with Deline Photography? What do you know about Deline Photography? How do you see yourself fitting? And they also need to have they should also be talking about how they fit into your business and how they should benefit your business. It shouldn't just be all about how they're going to benefit. That's something I've realized, is that, you know, in all of every relationship that you have, there's givers and there's takers. And you want to make sure that they're not too far one way from the other. So my biggest thing is I want to make sure that they have some invested interest into my business, and they don't want to just walk in and figure out what's going on and then walk up, because I want longevity. I'm going to be spending time with you. I'm going to be teaching you. I'm going to be educating you. I'm pouring a lot of time, energy, money into these people. I want to make sure that they also want to, in return, benefit my business too. Because at the end of the day, the thing you have to remember, we're all creatives and we all have these great big visions, but we also have to run a business. This is how I feed my family. This is how my cat gets his prescription cat food. I need to make sure I can give it to him. So I have to make sure that whoever I bring in, it's going to make me money too. So you also have to make sure that they're not just talking about themselves the whole time, that it is beneficial between the two. I would also look out for red flags on things. Like if you're asking them how they would handle a situation, like talk to them about really hard things. Like if you were at a wedding day and you had a groomsman that was out of line, how did you handle it? If they handle it in a very disruptive way, they might not be aligned with your business. Or if they handle it in a way that's very, you know, professional, maybe that's someone that works well in your business. However that you handle situations in your own business, when you're asking them these scenarios, it should kind of line up. They're not you, but it should line up and be like, oh, that would be acceptable in my business, to make sure that when you hire them to do these services, they can walk in and do it without a ton of management by you.
When you say that you don't want them to be talking all about themselves, what is a good example of that? Because with an interview, don't you want them to be just sharing about themselves? Or how would somebody be taking in that aspect? Because I think it could be really hard to tell for some people because there's so much gray.
Yeah, you're right. Because you want them to talk about, you open up an interview, you want to talk to them, like, tell me about you. Like, Jess, if I was interviewing you, I'd be like, Jess, tell me about you. Tell me about you as a photographer. That's when they should be talking about themselves because you're getting to know them and they have to explain who they are and what they do. And if you're asking them about their style of photography, that's them questions. And that's, they have to speak in an I form that is like, this is what I bring. But if you're getting down to the point where you're like, where do you see yourself fitting in this position? Or what do you have to offer for this position? If they begin to speak where it is, they say, I want this position because I want to grow my network, or I want to have, it's almost like advancements within themselves or within their business. Because especially when you grow a lead team, you can have people who, for me, they really love wedding photography, but they don't like the business aspect of it. So they want to be a part of my team. And that's a great scenario. But then you also have, I have photographers who are on my team and a part of it, but they also have their own business. And so that's a very fine line you got to walk. And I think maybe that's the scenario that I'm talking about, is that like, if they have their own business and they're going to keep it, and that could be perfectly fine. But you have to make sure that there is a separation between, you know, what my business is doing, because it is growing, is going to be well protected, and you're here for the right reasons and not just here for your own advancement of your own business. So that's something, I guess that's maybe like the more scenario that I'm talking about, is if someone's going to have their business, and just make sure that when they're in your business, they're there for the right reasons, and they're there, you know, just wholeheartedly for your business and to do the tasks that you've hired them for.
And they have a contract that when you do hire them, that they sign. Couldn't they just quit on you, and you've invested so much time because you've trained them? Worst case scenario, like, take your client from you or potential clients?
That's a great question. And that is the fear in the back of everyone's head when they create a team. I will tell you that much right now. But here's how I quiet that fear. Number one, non-competes. I don't know if it's just the state that I am. They're very hard to enforce. And I'm not a lawyer and I don't want to get into lawyer things, but they are kind of hard to enforce, especially if they have their own business. But here's the thing I want to tell you. When you're growing a team, you should make it really good that people don't really want to leave. And that's the thing. When my two leads came to my business that I have now, I wanted to make it really great to work for me. I want them to be like, I want to be on Kat's team no matter what. And in fact, I have one girl who, her photography business is growing, and we had a discussion. I was like, you know, is this still working for you? Like, or do you need to focus on your own business? You're growing. And she said to me, she goes, Kat, I don't want to leave this team. I'm not necessarily here, you know, just for the money or here to do whatever. She's like, I want to be a part of this team. She likes how it feels to be a part of this team. So if you're going to step into this leadership role and you're going to grow your business, that fear of people just gaining the knowledge and going, you have to learn how to quiet it, because you're never going to be a good leader. That's how, if anybody's ever worked in corporate America, I used to work in the finance corporate America, and it's the mentality that someone is just going to come take your position. Nobody is Kat DeLine and nobody is DeLine Photography. That person doesn't have the business that I have. It's exclusively mine. And the couples, it's the same thing. If a couple comes to you and they don't choose you for their wedding or for their photography, you have to have that mentality that they're just not for you. So if someone were to come into my business and then leave, that means that the universe is telling me that person's not meant to be in my business. But I also know when I have really good talent, and I always joke that the two ladies that I have, they're like magical unicorns. They came into my business and it's been so good. We have a great team dynamic. We call it a little girl gang, because there's all three of us are ladies, and it's just a really good community that we have. But when I was interviewing people, I told everybody, like, listen, yeah, we're a team, but overall we're a community. And if you need to come to this community and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, I'm having a hard time shooting it, can someone help me? We're going to step in and help you. And so you need to make sure that you create a company culture that people don't want to leave. And that's what I'm creating, because I'm not just doing this to say, oh, I'm going to pluck this person off of this internet, you can fill in this one. I'm not doing it to like that quick fix. You know, hey, I want to make more money and this wedding came to me and I could fill it in if I grab someone from this Facebook group. No, I want you in my business, and I want this company culture to grow and be a really great thing that not only my photographers love it, live in it, don't want to leave it, but couples are attracted to it. Because there's people can feel if your company culture is right and if it's not. And usually if you put out that vibration, the people are going to come to it.
And with your team, do you guys meet up in person, or is it mostly virtual? Would you suggest people meet up in person as much as they can just to keep that camaraderie as well?
There's different ways you can do it. Something, if you're going to have photographers in your business, I also say this, like, also be conscious of where your market is. So for me, having lead photographers that are right here in my market, I do destination weddings all over the world, but my girls don't. They are right here in my home market. That's where they work. So for me, having someone close by, yeah, meet up in person. And here's the thing, don't always, this is my opinion, but don't always make it so work-related and rigid and always so serious, because here's the thing, I want these ladies, again, like I said, I want them to stay with me. I want them to grow with me. I want them to have that. If I go to them and say, is this still working out for you? I want that answer to always be, I don't want to leave this team. So in that sense, we're meeting up and we'll do coffee dates sometimes. If we go to a styled shoot together, we're going out to lunch too, or dinner, whatever, either cocktails or we're doing lunch, coffee, something, to not just be like, oh, I need you to show up and do this work. But it's like, I also want to get to know you. I want to know, I know about their partners or their spouses, their kids, because while I may not be their best friend, because I am still their, I guess, their leader, their boss, I also want to know about them, because it helps me to understand, you know, how I can make it sweeter for them to be here. So meet up in person, do brand shoots, do some fun stuff, but also that makes, when you guys have to do work, I think it makes it a little bit easier to come across and be like, okay, we can work really hard, but we also play hard. There's a good benefit for being here.
With lead photographers, are they employees or are they subcontracted?
Right now, what fits my business is subcontract. You also need to, like, again, I'm not a lawyer and I don't want to like deep dive into the lawyer stuff because they speak a different language than me. I will say definitely make sure you're looking at what state you're in and what is acceptable in your state. Because like if you're in California, you want to make them, I think they have to be employees, but look at your state. Make sure you do your back end research, like get a lawyer, start, like, make sure you, the stuff that's really technical that, like, as a photographer or as a creative entrepreneur, you're just like, whoa, someone else has to handle that because it's really technical. Get someone really good and have them educate you in layman's terms what you can and can't do. So in where the state that I'm in, I can have them as subcontractors, and that works best for my business right now. But in all honesty, my accountant informs me of things all the time and says, okay, Kat, you can, you know, jump to doing this or doing that. So definitely have people in your pocket in your business that are experts in, like, lawyer, accounting, different things like that. So you're covered and you're good, because I'll tell you what, I'm not an accountant, I'm not a lawyer, and I, those are two languages I don't speak, but I have really good people that translate for me.
Totally. Something that popped into my head was, would you ever recommend people to hire their friends as associates? Or is that somewhere where you think could be a mess and not a good idea, and just kind of to overall avoid completely? Because when you were mentioning at the very beginning about when you're finding associates and not to just pluck them from the internet, which is another question I have, actually before we move into the next one, but I automatically thought, oh, what if you have a wedding photographer friend and you guys work really well together as friends? Would that be kind of a no-brainer to bring on? Or would you say, heck no?
I have big thoughts on this, only because of past experience. If you're going to use a friend or family member, the first thing I'm going to say to you, if you feel comfortable with that, my strongest advice is have a really good contract in place that you both understand, that if it gets to the point where they're right, like if they aren't performing, like, and you need to say to them, like, this is a contract, and if you're not performing, this is what's going to happen. It has been my experience personally, both in my own business, and my parents are entrepreneurs, that sometimes it can get really hard. My biggest thing that you have to also remember, and it's a big thing, you got maybe make a post-it note while you're doing interviews, is whoever you're comfortable with hiring, you have to also be comfortable with firing them. And firing is way harder than hiring somebody. I will tell you that much, because I've had to do it a few times. And sometimes people get into your business and their life either becomes crazy and they're not meeting, you know, the tasks that you need them to do. So firing them, you have to, as much as you want to bring them on, you have to be okay with also letting them go. So I've seen success stories, not in my business, but I've seen success stories where people would do bring on their good friend, or they do bring on a relative, that it works out really well. And like, you know what, I maybe I'm a little envious of that, because that sounds like it would be fun to have your best friend next to you shooting weddings, and it'd be a lot of fun. In my experience, it just ends up creating a gray area that might not allow your friendship to continue, because it is a little bit different once you're working together and you also have that friendship. So if you can do it, have really good boundaries, but don't exclusively look for people that you know. Like I said earlier, my two leads that I have right now, they're unicorns. They're amazing. I did not know them. I did find them on the internet in random Facebook groups. So when I say plucking random people off the internet, I mean for like a one-time wedding and you're just like, here, go do this wedding for me. But I did meet both my girls came from Facebook posts that they found. I didn't know them at all and ended up working out really well. So there's kind of, it's like a double-edged sword there. You can either say, no, I don't want anybody I know because I wouldn't feel comfortable firing them. Or you can say, you know what? You know, my best friend's going to help me out. And we just have a really good ironclad contract and both understand, like, you have to have some way that you solve those hard conversations of, hey, you need to change this about how you're shooting this wedding. Make sure when you have those conversations that you know the difference between things being personal and things being business. But that's for every relationship you have in your business. What difference between personal and business?
Right. Definitely. Feel like the risk wouldn't be worth it, in my opinion. And you're also kind of able to establish better boundaries with somebody that you don't know versus a best friend. Because let's be honest, the person that you're probably going to want to add isn't, you know, an acquaintance. It's like one of your good friends. And it can be hard to also establish authority in that way too, because yeah, it's like a sibling. Like, they're never going to take you serious in a way.
Yeah.
So when you were finding people for your associates, and you said that you found them through Facebook groups, so do you just do a post or this? How about also this next round, you're in the middle of interviews, how did you find those people?
So for the first time I did it, I relied pretty heavily on social media, not just on my Instagram. I did post on my Instagram, and then I went in because I was new in my area. I knew like maybe 5 people, not even, because we bought our house and then we quarantined like 2 days later. So I knew nobody. So I did put it out into some Facebook groups that I was in for my local area. And that's how I found quite a few of my applicants the first time around, because I wasn't really even established in this market, in all honesty. This time around, it's a little bit different. We went from 8 applicants to 20 right now. And that solely, I put it out on my Instagram. And then I did end up posting in the same 2 Facebook groups again, because I was like, hey, I found really good ones the first time. Maybe the second time would be good. And I will say that our applicants came, it's about almost 50-50. Some came from my Instagram, and then the others came from various Facebook groups that I posted in. And some were like, oh, I know you, I want to be on your team, and I'd really like to interview. There's one thing I will say to the fact of, you know, coming first into this market and not really having an established or a well-established brand, like a recognizable brand, to now 3 years later, I have a very recognizable brand in my area, my local industry. So that has helped a little bit, but don't be hesitant to, if you put it on your social media and nobody, you know, pops into it on the first day, you need to share that every single day and talk about it and get the word out, but also, you know, go into those Facebook groups. And I also have friends who will post to Indeed. I didn't feel I needed to the first and second time around. I mean, maybe later on I might, but it just didn't fit for me at the time. That is an option. I always had it there, but I've had really good luck with both doing the social media route of both Instagram and Facebook.
That's very good advice. What kind of growth have you seen in your business from adding lead photographers?
I've seen a couple types of growth. The first one, which I think is really exciting, and maybe it's a little selfish, is me as an individual. I didn't really know I would be a leader. I thought I would just, you know, it was just going to be me. I was going to be cruising solo, doing this on my own. And I kind of fought against the whole, like, oh, I'm going to be someone's boss or be a leader. I really pushed back on it hard. And it just kept coming back to me that this might be the thing to do. Now I love it. So I see it as a person, like, that's a personal growth thing for me. And I think that's maybe why I do really love having lead photographers in my business, is because I've seen the personal growth. I actually like it. And even on one of the hard conversations, it's really something that I've seen as a personal growth. It's also allowed me to not do as many weddings. So maybe I'm probably a better wife to my husband and dog mom and auntie, because I can show up to more, I can do more things, I can participate in more. So that's the personal growth that I've seen, which is more exciting to me than I thought it would be. I thought it would be like, oh, I can make more money. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to see this trajectory of sales. It's going to be amazing. I think my most favorite is my personal growth. And that's something that's exciting for me, because you can easily get burnt out in any type of industry. And I think of photography, it's pretty easy. And so it's kind of alleviated that for me, because I have variety in what I'm doing. As far as in my business growth, we've seen quite a bit of growth in the last 3 years. I will say the first year that I hired my girls, I didn't see a lot, because that was really like, we were setting the foundation, we were creating it, we were building something, and people didn't know about them yet. They barely even knew about me. So we were really like on you know, the ground zero of like creating this and like building this business, and also saying, well, yes, I'm Kat DeLine and I'm available for your wedding. I also have a team. So creating that and building that up within my brand, because it is a new phase of DeLine Photography, is adding these lead photographers and making couples feel comfortable enough to go with them. So that is a strategy in and of itself. So the first year I didn't see a ton of growth. I just knew, like, in the back of my head, I was like, I know this is going to be good. Like, I just, the first year, you're not going to see this like amazing growth. It's going to be a lot of work. But year two and three, we found great growth. As a team, we do about 40 weddings a year. And so that is up. I think by myself, I was doing about 25 to 30 weddings a year. Cause I specialize in weddings, only weddings. I'm very niche down. And so I saw the growth in just the sheer numbers. So in the end, that equals also my sales were going up, because my company was able to grow bigger than just the availability of one person. So that's the general, like, that might be the first growth that you think of, like, I'm going to add people to my team and I'm going to be able to do more weddings and it's going to be great. And I'm going to have all this extra money. That came with it, but it wasn't immediate. That is something that when you're building a team, and if it's a team that you're going to have the longevity with, you have to know that's where you're going, but it just takes a little while to get there. So I'd say in year two, my girls had about, between the two of them, had about 20 weddings. And then I did another about 15 or so. And then now it's gotten even better. So like they do together, they probably do about 20 to 25 and I do maybe 10. And then next year I'm doing less and less. And that's where I want to go to, because I want to grow just myself, my business, in other directions as well.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my Business Basics class. I teach you the 8 essential steps to get your business legal and legit so you can watch it bloom. You'll learn the basics of what is an LLC and the first steps to opening one up, opening a business bank account, how to find an accountant, what is bookkeeping and how can you do it yourself to save some money, what contracts and legal documents to consider and where you can buy them, the starting point for saving for your retirement, how to find a financial advisor, and where to start looking for business insurance. When you avoid getting all these ducks in a row, you are risking getting sued, paying more in taxes, and missing out on turning your income into more money. Head to jessicawhitaker.co/businessbasics to enroll.
I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, how does payment work? So I'm curious to see how you structure kind of the logistics. Where are you getting a kickback? Are you, Kat, as the main primary photographer, this is your brand, are you the one who is doing all of the client facing work as well, and your leads just show up the day of? Are you editing and doing all the post-production? Walk me through that. And also, this would be a good time for me to remind you guys that if this is something you've gotten this far in the podcast and this is something you're really interested in, but you have so many questions pertaining to your specific situation and business, Kat does do one-on-one mentoring. So that will be linked down in the show notes below as well, in the description. But give us kind of an idea, if you want to give an example of what the most basic structure is, or if you want to talk about your own.
You can really, I want to stress the fact that you can really set how you do things in your business. So this is just what I do. There's multiple ways to do this that are highly successful. This is just what works for me. So within my brand, the biggest thing about my brand is I didn't want it to be diluted. I didn't want it to become lesser than. I want it to stay consistent. Because one of the things that I was taught early on in my photography business is, like, if you can be consistent, and that goes from your client experience to your editing to everything, that was going to help me be successful. And I'm not going to lie, it's made me very successful to learn how to be consistent and be able to have things that someone, when they come to my business, they know what to expect, because I'm showing them consistency. So in order for me to keep that, I decided that what works for my business is I'm the controller of that. I'm still, you know, driving the ship. So when it comes to my leads, I handle booking, I handle timelines, I handle everything. They basically are showing up and photographing. But it's not just that easy. They are involved in the process at times. Like when before weddings, we do final walkthroughs, my leads come onto that call and make sure that the couple feels comfortable with them. our greatest scenario is they do engagement photos and they get to know my leads ahead of time. And that way, by the time the final walkthrough comes, everything's, you know, everybody knows everybody. It's very easy, very comfortable. We also, my girls also talk to our couples via our Instagram, because it's fun. Like when they go in there, you know, bachelor, bachelorette chips, whatever it is that you're doing. We like to like talk to them and things like that. So that's how we get to know them. So they have participation there. But I'm handling all the logistical things. I'm editing their gallery, curating their gallery. I'm building albums for them. I'm really the person behind the scenes that does all the other things, because in my business, that's how I could control the quality that was going out. I trust their technical skills and how they're going to represent my brand on the day of, whether that's an engagement shoot or if that is a wedding day. They're representing my brand. They're the face of it for that day. But I handle everything on the back end. So that's how it worked in my business, and it works really well. And that way, you know, when my leads go in to do a wedding, I'm handing them a very beautiful, well thought out package to say, here's everything you need to know about the wedding day. You already know the couple because you've met them, you've talked to them, and here's your timelines. Here's all the things, here's all the expectations that the couple has. Here's their choices on locations, family photos, here's the shot list, here's all the things. And it's all very well controlled because my background's in project management. So for me, that's an easy, easy thing to do to make their job easier. And so they feel more creatively fulfilled by the time that the end of the day happens.
Okay, that is really good advice. When it comes to the payment structure, what's a very common way to go about it? Is it 50-50?
Again, you can do whatever structure that works for your business. I always say consult your accountant to make sure that, you know, whatever you're doing for your business is good for your bottom line too, because at the end of the day, you have to make sure that you have a good business structure to keep doing what you want to do. So a common one is hourly rate. So my girls get paid for, you know, even if they come to like a wedding show with me, if they do a styled shoot, there's an hourly rate that I pay them for that. And then same with weddings, however many hours they worked. And then if they have to travel a certain distance, like we do travel payment, stuff like that, because in my business, they're not part-time, they're contract. So it looks a little bit different. So if you're going to do someone who is part-time, full-time in your business, that's going to look like a different type of payment than for someone who's a subcontractor in your business. So that's how it works for me. That's how a lot of people do it, is an hourly rate that you agree upon. And then you pay them when they're performing work for you. But other people have done different structures where it's a percentage of the booking or something of the sort. And then what I do is I actually also give them a retainer when I book them to let them know that, like, hey, I'm going to hold you for this date.
To wrap it all up, what does a succession or growth plan look like after adding lead photographers?
I think your growth plan in succession after you bring on a team needs to look like, for you as the owner, the CEO of your company, as the leader of your ship, directing what sales and where you kind of what path you take, you need to look at what your goal is for you. So for me, when I said that one of my favorite growth things is that I've grown as a person, as a leader, and I now have the life that I want. I get to be at home a little bit more. I get to go to my nephew's soccer games. I get to be more present in my own life, because at one point in my life, I was doing 45 weddings a year, and that's literally almost every weekend. I was doing multiple weddings in multiple cities. So for me, the succession was, if I'm going to add these photographers to my business, how is it going to get me to the end goal of life balance and being able to support my family the way I want to and the way we want to live? What's going to make us comfortable? And if I were going to add these lead photographers, you know, is it going to get me closer to where I want to be, or is it going to be a lot more work for me? The first year, a lot of work. But after that, is it the trajectory where I want to go? Because I don't want to be, you know, photographing 40 weddings a year like I used to. I want to downsize, but I also want to make sure that I'm supporting my family. And that for me is what I looked at when it came to the succession of my business with adding lead photographers. Because I think if you're going to add them and they're going to be a part of your business and you're going to spend all the time, energy, and money putting them their face on your website, making them a part of your brand and bringing them in, you really have to know, is this something I'm going to do for a year, 2 years, or is this something that I see longevity? I honestly want to keep growing my lead team. I see a succession for my business that in the next 5 years, you're going to see a lot more than three lead photographers in my business. But my business quality, that consistency that I talked about, you're still going to see it in my brand. It's just going to be a bigger brand that serves more people and grows a bigger community than what I have right now, and a bigger community than I could have served on my own. And that's what my succession is. That's what I'm growing towards, because I'm growing a legacy here. And part of that legacy is the empire of which is Align Photography. And adding these leads really fit into what I envisioned for not only just my life, but for this business in general too, because the business supports and allows me to do what I want to do in life.
Do you want to expand to the West Coast and other cities?
I've thought about it, but I don't know. That is something that I, you know, when you sit down, you toss around ideas and you're just like, what could I do? I love doing destination stuff. You know, I've gone all over the world for it and I've thought about it. But I also like the sense that, you know, we kind of talk about when people are close by, we get to meet up. But I also like being on the, if you're in the East Coast, you know that, like, you know, I live in Virginia. I can go up to DC and it's a 3-hour, like, you can take so many road trips in the East Coast because we're all packed together, right? And we do a lot of that. Like I go up to Northern Virginia, I'm down in North Carolina, I can go down to Florida. There's a lot of different options there. And sometimes I do think about, like, what if there's hubs of different people? Because I also have a market in New York that's completely different than my one here further down the East Coast. So it is doable. There's also just a big aspect of it from a marketing standpoint that would take a lot of work to get where, because I've moved my business before 3 times in 3 years as a military spouse. And if you've ever met a military spouse with a business, that is, hug them, because it's a lot of work. And we do it because we love somebody. And thinking about getting something off the ground in a different location, it takes a lot of work. But just, that's something I've thought about multiple times.
Yeah, I could see how it would be difficult, but it would be very interesting to see, because the sky is kind of the limit once you get into the groove and you have that momentum and you have a team, because you're no longer reliant on just you individually. And I think that this episode is going to help so many people who have never even heard about associates or leads before, or maybe for not only growing their own photography, but maybe they're looking to scale back their own business because it's too overwhelming and they just want to work for somebody else. And just, they love weddings. Like for myself, I love the day of photographing weddings, but I don't have the capacity to be a wedding photographer because I have so many other areas of business going on that I like to be an associate for a friend, and a second shoot is totally fine. But this might be an awesome, awesome possibility on the flip side of it. So Kat, where can everybody find you online?
You can find me on my Instagram. It's kat.theline, and we're on Facebook as well, but I'm mostly active on Instagram. So you can find me on there. We have a website, delinephotography.com, and katdeline.com is also a place if you want to do some mentorship type stuff or learn some business things. You can also stop by there.
Yes, Kat, you are such an incredible resource, and I really encourage those who are interested in learning more. You will get so much helpful information from Kat about how you could tailor this to your business, or how to even, again, become a lead or associate for somebody else. And also when it comes to SEO, I'll have that episode linked down below for you guys to listen to. And SEO stands for search engine optimization. So it's all about optimizing your website so that you don't really need to use social media. It doesn't hold as much weight because most of your leads will come from your website. And it's something that is traditionally super boring, and a lot of people put off doing it. I mean, a lot of people put off their websites in general, but Kat teaches it in this episode and in the mentoring in the simplest way. And you can even then take the information and outsource it to somebody else, like to a virtual assistant or hire out someone. But it's really important that you know what it is and what's going on so that you don't get scammed by somebody who says that they can do SEO for you, you know? And I've had so many conversations on my Instagram lately where I've been opening up about a mastermind that actually both Kat and I were in. That's how we met. And it was a total scam artist teaching it. And it was like so many women affected. It's been going on for years. And this happened 2 years ago. And so I've been sharing on Instagram about that mastermind scam. And a lot of other photographers and creatives have talked about how they've also experienced scams or disappointments with either masterminds or retreats or coaching and work online workshops and things. But you guys, I can assure you that this isn't something that's just going to be, oh, I already could have learned that online. Whenever I'm sharing resources with you guys, it is coming from the experience of having been screwed over by a photography educator who freaking sucks. And so all the resources that I point you to are sincere. And Kat and I were in that same boat. And so really, truly, if you are interested in learning more, please know that she is an incredible resource. We have trauma bonded from the scammer together. And she will teach you everything that you need to know. This is something also that with mentoring, I feel like there are things that you can learn online easily. But when there's so many specifics and nuances within your own business, I think associate, lead, building a team, that is something perfect for mentoring, as well as SEO. So I just cannot sing your praises enough, Kat. You are so amazing. You've always been there for me for the past couple of years of being scammed together in anything that I need. Like, you're so helpful. And I'm just so thankful that you're going to be a recurring guest this year on the Build and Bloom podcast. Thank you so, so much for coming on. And our next episode is going to be really exciting. It's all about 5 mistakes you're making with adding associate photographers. And that episode on SEO will be linked down below. Thank you so much, Kat.
Oh, thank you, Jess. I'm excited to be here, have a few more good chats, and just help people out, because navigating entrepreneurial world is no easy task. And there's a lot to be learned. So I'm really excited to be here and to chat with everybody.